morning, sir. Before we get started, what is your name, sir?
My name is Charles Lee Patterson, sir.
Patterson. Okay, Mr. Patterson, who's going to...
Oh, I got you.
Okay, the Honorable Mr. Louis Kiwanis will be conducting your hearing, sir. So just hold on to the phone.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Patterson, can you hear me clearly?
Yes, sir.
Can you state your full name and ABC number for the record?
Charles Lee Patterson, 050-496, I'm sorry.
Thank you, sir. Good morning.
How are you doing this morning? Good morning to the board.
Thank you, sir. How cold is it down in Yuma?
It's pretty cold, sir.
Even to Yuma standards?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, sir, you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is about the one alleged violation listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on December 19, 2018. Is that correct, sir?
I did, sir.
Thank you. That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights,
yes, sir,
is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. See an attorney with you. Are you representing yourself today, sir?
Yes, sir. I have an attorney. Thank you.
Thank you. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. If you can see on the video conference screen, I'll begin with the opposite side of the bench working toward me. We have the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. Next to me is the Honorable Mr. David Beal, and my name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel lead for your hearing. Also present...
Thank you very much, sir. Are you all showing up? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Also present in the room is our Community Corrections Hearings Officer, Mr. Turner, and he'll be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer.
Yes, sir.
Sir, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, with phase two deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. When I read the allegation to you, you need to respond whether it is true or false.
Yes, sir.
If you believe the allegation is false, the board will take testimony from the Department of Corrections, and we can talk about it, but keep in mind, the board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I will begin phase one by reading from the warrant of arrest. According to the... Yes.
I'm sorry, sir. Did you swear to me?
I was just going to say,
I think I may have blown past that. I apologize, Mr. Patterson, but one of the steps is to swear you in, and I think I got a little ahead of myself on the script. But before I continue with the hearing, I need to swear you in. So, Mr. Patterson and Mr. Turner, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and so you affirm?
I do, sir.
I do, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Turner, and thank you for that correction. Okay, Mr. Patterson, as I stated, I'm going to begin phase one by reading from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in a criminal ways or company as follows. Violation of condition number 5, as demonstrated by your engagement in threatening and assaultive behavior on December 8, 2018, at 2501 West Elm Street, Phoenix, Arizona. Mr. Patterson, is this true or false?
It is true that I had a confrontation, yes, sir.
Okay. Based on...
But I must say that it was verbal.
Okay. You will still have a chance to speak to the board before we... You'll have a chance to speak to the board during the second phase of the hearing, but I'm going to go ahead and make a motion to pass this hearing from phase one to phase two. That is based on Mr. Patterson's admission. I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have or have lapsed in the criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree.
Seconded by the Honorable Mr. Johnson. to you, probably Honorable Dr. White, Honorable Mr. Neal, and Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse. Okay, Mr. Patterson, we're going to continue the second phase of the hearing, and it is during this phase that the board will determine whether or not your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Turner, our Community Corrections Hearings Officer, is going to give us additional background information about your case. If you will just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly for questions, and you will be able to speak to the board in detail, okay, sir?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Patterson. Mr. Turner, if you will.
Yes, sir. Patterson was released from ADC custody on 11-16-2018 and arrested on 12-10-2018 by ADC on a tech violation. No new charges are noted. He is returned back to ADC custody on 12-10-2018 with a CSED of 324-2021, zero abscondes. Current conviction, 2004, commitment F, count one, armed robbery, 10 years, 6 months. 2004, commitment F, count two, resisting arrest, 1 year, 9 months. 2003, armed robbery, 10 years, 6 months. 2004, commitment H, count two, robbery, 4 years, 6 months. Prior convictions, 1983, robbery, 4 years. 1989, marijuana violation, 1 year, 6 months. 1991, theft, 5 years. 1993, narcotic drug violation, 4 years. 1997, narcotic drug violation, 6 years, 6 months. This is his sixth term in ADC with a CUIR score of 3-3. Mental health score of 3. Substance abuse score of 2. No SDG information is noted. Prior terms of supervision, 1990, temporary release, absconded for 17 days, arrested, administratively revoked. 1993, temporary release, arrested, administratively revoked. 1997, temporary release, arrested, administratively revoked. 2003, TIS release, arrested, found in violation, continued on supervision, absconded for 3 months, arrested, reached CSED in custody. Disciplinary is significant and lengthy with violence, indecent exposure, contraband, sexual acts, weapons, drugs, and forgery noted. Other arrests, there were other arrests, however, the charges were dismissed. Is a GD score of G3, V5.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Back to you, Mr. Patterson. I'm going to make a quick review of your case supervision summary. It looks like that you were released from the Department of Corrections on November 16, 2018. You did not have an approved placement. Pardon me, then you were approved to Vibre at 2501 West Elm Street in Phoenix on December 8, 2018. You were discharged from Vibre for failure to comply with Vibre policies and procedures assigned by you. And then there's the reference to threatening another client with physical assault. Employment notes, you were referred to Arizona at Work, DES, and your parole officer did not get any verifiable indication of employment prior to your arrest. So did you find work, sir?
Yes, sir. I talked to my parole officer, Ms. Murray, when she came and visited me at the halfway house on, I guess it would be the Wednesday prior to the 8th of the incident. And I gave it a card to a company that was hiring me, and I was supposed to start till Monday that I was arrested due to this verbal confrontation with a housemate. And so, yes, I did have employment, and it was at $15 an hour. Ms. Murray knew this. She explained to me, they explained to the Social Security Department, because I had an appointment with the Social Security on the 21st of November, I mean of December, excuse me, sir, for Social Security, that I did have a job and we could work so many hours up to the point to where you know, you can make an extra amount of money to cover the cost of lack of money being given on your job. So, yes, I did have employment, and I was supposed to start that employment.
What was the employment, sir?
I was working for a private company, and it was a concrete repair company.
Concrete.
I can't remember the exact name of the company. I had the card in my property when I went to Alhambra, but they would not let me have it for confirmation.
And
on the board.
Are you already receiving SSI benefits or something from the Social Security?
I was supposed to go to Social Security on the 21st of December, and I missed that appointment due to my revoke, my parole being revoked.
Thank you, sir. We have programming notes that you were referred to task for the year analysis program and assigned a PIN number. It looks like that you were not responsible for any sample before your arrest. On November 16, 2018, you referred to BGRE RCBM program in Phoenix and you agreed to complete the program, pardon me. On December 10, 2018, you were discharged from BGRE and was unsuccessful in completing the RCBM programming. So did you receive any programming in BGRE before you were released?
Yes, sir. I went to all my classes. I was in phase one. I was made a phase two on Tuesday, which would probably have been, I think, the second or the third of December. I was supposed to start my job on the 10th of December. I completed all the classes. I went from phase one to phase two, so I was working my program. And I think it's only fair that I should explain to the board. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you people about anything, because honesty in my life now is key to my recovery from all the things that I've been through over a long period of life of criminology. So I did argue with this individual at this house, and it was because of the fact that a guy went to bury his brother, and he was in the same apartment that we was in, and he was roaming through a lot of our stuff, stealing our stuff, smoking speed, and this guy was out at a funeral, and that's the whole thing about the confrontation. I was trying to take care of the young kid, and the young kid just seemed to not have no understanding of me being an adult older than him, trying to explain to him that this was wrong for him to do this and that we can try to settle this in another manner. And he turned it into an argument. I admit that I argued with this individual. I probably should have thought better. I probably should have even thought better about even getting into confrontation. But I swore to the guy that was our roommate that I would watch his stuff while he was out burying his brother on Saturday. And it turned out that this guy, and it even says in the report that that Gozar, who is one of the first people that work at the Beverly House, went through on several occasions and saw this guy stealing this guy's stuff, or at least going through it. And it came out that some of the guy's stuff did come up missing. I'm not going to say that I'm innocent of not arguing with this guy, because I am. And it really hurt me, excuse me, that I trusted this guy to the point where it ended me back in prison. I worked hard for what I got out for. I did everything that I was supposed to do. And I'm back here for a verbal confrontation. Don't let anybody want to stand for it. Like they released me on homelessness, and I didn't really have a chance to find somewhere that I could go that I felt comfortable with. They just threw me in the middle of the situation, and I didn't really have no means for really, understanding. But I really tried to give them away.
Mr. Patterson, I recognize that you have a pretty extensive history in the Department of Corrections. And I recognize that you were, at least according to your accounting, trying to adhere to the conditions. It does seem like that the confrontation inside facility was pretty heated and that you used some pretty threatening language. It's my understanding that the Phoenix Police Department were called. Were you cited at all?
I called the Phoenix Police Department because the guy, Gozar, was really being kind of aggressive towards me about moving my property out on the street. And I asked him if he would call a taxi for me, and he said no, he refused to call me a taxi. So I called the Phoenix Police. I don't want to call the Phoenix Police Department so that they can see that I'm not doing anything.
Okay.
That I'm just trying to relieve this property because I didn't want to have no other confrontation with anyone else. You know, and the fact that they said I never left this place to go anywhere but to meetings and stuff like that. How they figure I had a box, I don't know how they got came up with that. I never had anything of the sort. And I swear to God with my right hand that I never had anything of that. And it says in the report that Kozar walked on several occasions and seen this guy doing this. And I just wanted to make it clear to the board that this guy that I got into this confrontation with was not going to any meetings. He wasn't doing any groups. I don't know how much information you guys received on this individual, but he would always go to groups and lead the group and make up excuses to the person in front of the group that he had to do this and he had to do that. He had no real confirmation on doing any of this stuff. This guy moved from one apartment in the complex to five, and the fifth apartment was ours. So he was having problems. And then he got arrested 2 days, not arrested, but detained by the Phoenix Police 2 days prior to our incident at a known drug house in the neighborhood that the V-Ray house is located in. So this guy has been a problem throughout the whole time that I was in this facility, or in this halfway house. And I was going to ask if the board could contact one of the guys at the Greenberry House that's one of the head managers, because he's got video of this guy taking stuff and throwing it out of the garbage can, the big dumpster, onto the main highway, and I cleaned all this stuff up. I had no problem with no one at the Greenberry House, none of the staff. I didn't disrespect none of the staff, and the fact that the guy said that I was calling the guys thieves and that protecting the faggots and all that old stuff, I was referring to the people in the halfway house who I knew that was doing drugs, not the staff members. Staff members helped me out a great deal. They had me on the right path, I got me a job, and I was going to all my programming. You know what I mean? I don't want you guys to hold the fact that I had a DOC bad record. You know what I mean? Because I changed from that. I went 2 years before I was released with no tickets. I was a phase three before I was released, so I was really trying to work my program, and I'm still trying to work my program. And to just take me away from my family and like this for a verbal confrontation, because there was no punches through. There was the guy had grabbed a bicycle handlebar and was threatening to use it against me. You know what I mean? And in the report, it states that. And so it's not like that I was trying to actually hurt this young kid, because I took care of the kid for almost a week that he was living in my apartment. I let him eat my food. I bought him cigarettes. I did a lot of stuff to try to help the kid, because a lot of people in the halfway house didn't like this kid. Like I said, he moved from one apartment to our apartment, which was the fifth apartment he lived there, the time he lived there. So I'm not saying that I wasn't at fault for arguing with this guy, because I was. And I want you people to understand that this is the honest to God truth from my behalf. I was wrong for arguing with this guy. But for me to have to come back to DOC and do 27 months for arguing with an individual, I know people who have actually did some more heinous stuff than that and got less time in DOC than what I have to do on parole violations. I'm just begging you guys to give me the opportunity, because I have a new place to live that's a religious halfway house, and I'm going to work my program. I think I still got the opportunity to get the job that I was assigned to go work at on the day that I was arrested, because the guy told me to take as much time as I need, because he knew that I was in a halfway house.
Mr. Patterson, if I may interrupt you, and thank you for providing such a detailed statement. I said that you'd have a chance to explain yourself, and I think you've done a pretty good job of that, a pretty detailed job of that. And you've always answered a question that was a large concern for me, and that is, I hear what you're saying, but there was a lot at stake with your behavior coming back into the community after being convicted six times. And I recognize people can change, right? So that's a sensitivity with people about putting the past behind them. But it sounded like the confrontation got pretty loud, and people did feel threatened. So actually I have a more practical question, and that is, how are you going to deal with the next halfway house situation? Because this board does not have any authority to put you in a different halfway house. That is at the discretion of your parole officer. We don't place people. For example, if someone says, I would like more drug rehabilitation, we don't get to say which program that they may or may not be put in. It's always at the discretion of the parole officer. So what would be your plan for return to the community? Because this was not a good accounting of your behavior with your freedom on community supervision. So what's your plan?
I can only tell the board that I can't change what has happened, but I can damn sure go out there and make what's going to happen a better situation. I just gotta leave other people's situations alone. It's like if I make you a promise to do something and then I don't do what I promised you to do, I feel as though I failed you. So my whole thing was when I made this guy his promise, I kept my promise. And when the conversation first started out with this guy, I tried to have understanding with this young kid. And the fact that I couldn't get to that understanding, I will admit that I became frustrated about the situation. So for me to be in a situation like that again, I just have to say no. I just have to remind myself that I got to do something for me, because it's more important about what I need as opposed to what somebody else needs. And like I said, I can't change what has happened. But I can damn sure change the fact that I don't have to get put in a situation like that and just mind my own business.
Okay, Mr. Patterson, I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. Yes, the Honorable Ms. Gilbert-House.
Thank you, Mr. Kanemis. Mr. Patterson, there's a statement in this on your warrant that says you physically went after Landry, who I assume is the inmate that you were arguing with, and chased him off the property with a box cutter. Did you do that, sir?
No, there was never no box cutter or anything of that nature involved in our argument. And I never went physically after the guy. When he came back on the property, I was upstairs, and I was asking the house man, why come this, you guys keep letting this guy back on the property? You know what I mean? Because he's just a problem. So I was asking the house guy, but I wasn't physically going after the guy. And this guy grabbed a handlebar and threatened me with a handlebar, so I'm not going to physically go after this guy because I don't know what he got. He left and came back. I don't know what this guy got. I'm not going to physically go after this guy with no weapon or nothing like that. I don't have nothing to fight this guy with. I'm an old man and he's a young man. I never physically went after this guy. I actually did say a few choice words to him when he came back on the property, but physically going after him and not knowing what he got. No, ma'am, I did not physically do that.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Kanemis.
Thank you, Mr. Patterson. Any further questions? Okay, Mr. Patterson, we're getting very close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us, and you have given us quite a bit of information. But this is your hearing, so is there anything else that you feel is important for us to know or understand before the board goes into discussion and votes on this case? Thank you, Mr. Patterson.
Yes, sir. I'd just like to thank the board for giving me the opportunity to speak, and I'd just like to inform you guys that my mother is getting young. And the whole time I was out there, I was trying to get to see my mother. I never got to see my mother, man. You know what I mean? It just seems odd that I do 15 years for you, and then I get out, and then I'm threatened with being violated for something as simple as what I've been violated for. But You know, I mean, I know life brings a change, and I know we gotta be strong throughout whatever goes on in our lives, but I'm begging you people, man, I'm at the mercy of this board to get back to the streets to work my program so I can see mom. She needs to get there when they're younger. So I just ask that you guys be really considered. You know, I apologize for putting you people through this. I understand that I was wrong to a point, but for me to have to stay here, I don't feel like, I don't know, I just don't know what to say. I'm just at your boy's mercy, that's all.
Well, thank you, Mr. Patterson. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself under the open meeting laws of Arizona. So if you'll just stay on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, I will say in the open meeting that I'm sensitive to individuals who are released to community supervision and are returned with a long period left because under the right set of circumstances, it's an opportunity for that individual to be shepherded, if you will, back to the community under safe circumstances and to be helped with the assistance of their parole officer to return to a productive and crime-free status. What's concerning is not just the history of convictions, but also for periods that did not end well in the community supervision. So I'll begin the discussion by saying I'm not completely closed-minded, but I'm just not seeing him as a consistently good candidate for community supervision based on the past. I can't rule out the past in terms of past community supervision. So that's where I'll begin the discussion. Yes, sir, the Honorable Ms. Gilbert.
I would just support what you say by just pointing out that some of Mr. Patterson's discipline in prison involved violence, and it appears he continues to perpetuate violence. We didn't really talk about anger management, but I believe that's part of the RCBM programming. But it seems like he has a problem controlling his anger, and I would be concerned about that.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. Any further input from colleagues? Okay. I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, and that is based on the information provided to us in warrant number 2018-W3578, our discussion with Mr. Patterson, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Patterson was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision and had lapsed, was about to lapse at the criminal ranger company, inasmuch that he did demonstrate threatening and assaultive behavior. And I am not seeing him as a suitable candidate for returning to community supervision, and that is my motion.
Second.
Great. Agree.
Seconded by the Honorable Mr. Neal, Griffin, the Honorable Dr. Wright, the Honorable Mr. Johnson, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. Mr. Patterson, I certainly take my pleasure in this, but your supervision has been revoked. If there's any good news, is that when you are released, you will be released free and clear. You won't have to deal with halfway houses, community supervision, the parole officers. I recognize that there are some months ahead of you, but I encourage you to take advantage of this time to pursue any programming, in particular anger management, and to put together a plan for your safe return to the community. We recognize that there's sensitivity regarding the health status of your mother, but we do have to make some hard decisions on behalf of the people of Arizona. The hearing is concluded. No further discussion may take place, and Mr. Patterson would appreciate it if you'd set down the phone and ask for your CO3. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.